over $2 million a year, and the church provides an easy method to give money. This is Herbert Armstrong's collection plate, bank deposit slips. Just fill in the amount and sign your name. And these are some of the faithful who do just that, parting with over $2 million in Australia alone to spread the word of Herbert W. Armstrong. But it was how that money was being spent and allegations of brainwashing that forced these ex-members to split with the church.
If I explain it very simply, once you come into the church, you accept Herbert Armstrong totally as God's prophet for today. It's a form of brainwashing.
No, that's not fair. We teach strongly, and again, maybe there's a misconception there. We teach strongly the doctrines and what we believe.
Dean Wilson, an American who leads the church in Australia, denies that they exercise that sort of control over the members.
But our church members are free to believe whatever they want to believe.
But these former members tell a different story. Francis and Alex Makarova say they asked questions and for that were publicly denounced in church.
He announced our name, said that we had gone off after Satan. Then there was a break between sermon and sermonette, and two deacons came down, and one of them seized my arm and told me that we had to get out, and he was trying to drag me out. And I said, no, I'm not going. And he said, yes, you are, you've got to leave.
You were not only publicly denounced, you were forcibly removed from the church.
Yet according to these dissidents, Herbert Armstrong is so revered that his followers never question his prophets or his prophecies.
Well, at one stage, we were all prepared to have packed up our bags, sold our homes if we had things to sell, and we'd have all gone to live over in Petra, in the desert in Jordan.
This is Petra, the place of safety for the faithful, the only survivors of the catastrophic Third World War, which, according to Herbert Armstrong, would devastate the world in 1972.
We were expecting to live off manna from God.
The psychological domination was absolute, and most members will accept anything they say without question.
I can't speak for every single solitary individual in the church, as you can understand. But I can say that is dogmatically untrue, insofar as the vast majority of the worldwide Church of God is concerned.
Underlying all the charges of brainwashing and false prophecy, one simple question. Where's the money going?
Ex-church members claim that money from the third tithe, which is supposed to go to widows, to needy people, is not in fact being used properly. That at least 70% of the money paid between 1971, 72 and 73 was not used for this purpose.
In this particular aspect, I would have to go back and check our books, because as you know, I've been here just 2.5 years, and I know how that particular account has been utilized during my administration.
We're talking about $261,000.
Yeah. Well, again, that's a new question to me, and I'd have to go back through our books and accounts and find out how that particular money was spent, because it was spent before my administration.
Dean Wilson agreed to let Australian church members see the investigation carried out by 60 Minutes in America. And in a church hall in Sydney, in front of 200 of the faithful, we play back the story of how millions of dollars are being spent or misspent. The reaction, as we'll see later, is rather surprising.
This is where Stanley Rader controls the purse strings, for he is treasurer of the church. His office would be the envy of any corporate executive. His job puts a multi-million dollar jet plane at his disposal to fly him anywhere in the world. And on the ground, he is provided with a limousine and chauffeur. The church bought and maintains for him this home in Tucson, Arizona.
Do you know how much your expenses in the worldwide Church of God were during 1978?
I probably incurred expenses for the church probably in the neighborhood of $250,000 or more.
Rader spends that money, he says, to spread the gospel. And a far more lavish expense account was authorized by Rader for a Japanese gentleman who served as advance man for Armstrong and Rader in their worldwide search for converts.
Who is Professor Osamu Gotoh?
Goto, G-O-T-O-H.
Who is he?
Acronym for Go to Heaven.
In a period of about 3 months, in 1975, there's an expenditure of $107,000, all but $12,000 of it, by Goto.
This is a church organization.
Yes, Mike, absolutely.
He spent, on Mr. Armstrong's behalf, probably around $750,000 a year on the average.
To do what?
To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The only way Goto ever spread the word is because some of those dollars say, "In God we trust." He was spending upwards of $813,000 in 1 year to give away everything from worldwide trips to Japanese senators, which to me is like a miniature Korea gate.
How many converts did your father?
Zero that I know of in Japan.
No, Mike, our policy was we would make friends wherever we went in order to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mike, if you had a man like Goto, you'd be twice as effective as you are today.
We noticed an $8,000 expense item listed to a Dr. Singh.
Why would Goto pay for Dr. Singh $8,000 TWA, a trip Amsterdam, Tokyo, Amsterdam?
Because he went from Amsterdam to Tokyo to appear on Mr. Armstrong's behalf. He went with his wife back and forth. Two round-trip tickets, first class. He's a member of the International Court of Justice at The Hague.
Do you know something, Mr. Rader? Dr. Singh told us he was too busy. He couldn't make that trip to Tokyo. Never appeared.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that's what he would say.
You mean he was there?
Yes, he was.
So he lied to us?
Yes.
And there were also expenses for gifts that Mr. Armstrong himself carried to foreign dignitaries.
Steuben glass, 6 crystal pillar griffins, $12,000.
Did you know, Mike, that Dwight Eisenhower was president of the United States for 8 years, and every time he visited a head of state, he gave a piece of Steuben? Did you know that?
Are you suggesting that Mr. Herbert Armstrong is a head of state?
Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
And you're finally the Secretary of State.
You've got it. By God, you've got it, Mike. That's it. That's the whole key. This is a state, and we are representatives of God, and I am Mr. Armstrong's Secretary of State.
But in truth, he is closer to being Secretary of the Treasury, administrator of a tax-exempt charitable trust. It was not only Stanley Rader and Herbert Armstrong and Professor Goto who spent the church's money extravagantly. Garner Ted admits that he did too before he was cast out.
It's awfully hard for me to avoid being painted with the same brush, and I do have a certain degree of culpability in the past because, after all, I was part of it.
You were open enough with Garner Ted Armstrong to offer him what was, in effect, a $50,000 a year contract of what seems on the face of it to be hush money.
Oh, no.
If he would agree never to release, divulge, disclose, make available, or in any other manner make known any such information or documentation in perpetuity which you have within your knowledge, possession, custody,
exactly,
or control.
Exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Sounds like $50,000 a year worth of hush money.
Well, you can call it hush money if you want to. I said to keep his bad mouth shut.
I knew the amounts of money going for the overseas trips. I knew the kind of money Goto was spending. I knew the kind of money that Rader was spending. I knew about his Beverly Hills home. I knew about the leasing corporation, Gateway Publishing, Worldwide Advertising, on and on and on it went. And practically everywhere you look, if the church has a business it is performing or bills that it's paying, well, somewhere Rader is involved. How can this be? Why should it be?
Stanley Rader was not a church member until 1975 when Herbert Armstrong baptized him in a hotel bathtub in Hong Kong. And what worries some church members is that Rader sees himself as heir apparent to the leadership of the church. Herbert Armstrong has privately voiced those same concerns.
Just a little while ago, you were the bete noir of Herbert Armstrong. Did you know that?
I?
Yes.
When was this?
Oh, early January.
No.
Don't believe it?
Positive.
Let me quote Herbert Armstrong.
This is from Mr. Armstrong to whom?
Herbert Armstrong.
To whom?
I can't
reveal. You're sure that's Mr. Armstrong's letter?
He was talking about your attempt to step into the leader's shoes. He said he's deliberately trying to put himself there. I don't want to think that anyone has their eyes on $50, $60, $70 million a year, but that is quite a magnet.
You really think Mr. Armstrong said that to somebody?
You don't.
I don't think so.
Next, we read a portion of a letter Herbert Armstrong told our source that he was drafting to send to Stanley Rader.
I have to say candidly, Stan, for we have to face the facts that very near unanimously neither the ministry nor the lay members of the church will accept you as their spiritual leader.
Now, you're saying that you have that in a letter from Mr. Armstrong?
You don't believe it?
Positive.
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 Can we play you his voice saying those things? and see what you think.
Yes, of course.
He is deliberately trying to put himself there. I don't know. I don't want to think that anyone has their eyes on $50, $60, $70 million a year. That is quite a magnet, you know.
The tape we played was a portion of two telephone conversations with Herbert Armstrong, which our source had recorded surreptitiously prior to 60 Minutes beginning its investigation. In this second excerpt played for Mr. Rader, Herbert Armstrong is reading to our source that letter he's about to send to Stanley Rader, asking Rader to step down from any church posts he holds that might put him in line as successor to Armstrong, but inviting him to stay on as Armstrong's personal advisor.
I have just written Stan a letter. I have to say candidly, Stan, for we have to face the fact that they exist, that very near unanimously, neither the ministry nor the lay members of the church will accept you as their spiritual leader.
Now I say you have acquired this by illegal means. I intend to have my attorneys today not only sue you, if you use this. But I mean this, Alan. I want you to go to the district attorney today. That tape is not a complete tape. There was a 7-page letter. I'll go to any court in any land and prove to you that the tape is not a complete record. I've already made the letter public to the entirety of the church and it's been printed. Mike, look, I think you better scrap everything because you're on my list, okay? You're never going to live it down, Mike. I guarantee it. I'll use it as a springboard to show just what the press is, because you're contemptible. I mean this, not for the camera. I'd like you to get out of here. Move. I hope you got it, and I hope you have the guts to use it.
For years, these deep-seated jealousies and resentments were just there. Now, boom, they've all exploded, they've erupted like Vesuvius, and they're out in the open. So I'm saying that at least some of the people on the top are being a little bit honest for a change.
Do you know what you're describing?
Yes, human nature.
You're also describing a big corporation where everybody's fighting for advantage.
Just like any corporation.
For salaries, for perks, for ambition, for power. What in the world is churchly about all that?
Good question. Not one thing.
It seems to me, Mr. Armstrong, that your father and you and Stanley Rader conceivably are giving religion a bad name.
I think that's a good point. I think that over the last few years, the Worldwide Church of God, because of its incredible internal difficulties, has tended to give a bad name to religion. I think it's a tragedy.
That was the story millions of Americans saw on network television. But the faithful in Australia remain just that.
What do you think of the lifestyle of a man like Stanley Rader?
I think that a man that takes that kind of responsibility on is worth that kind of money.
Do you think it's giving religion a bad name?
No, I do not. I do not. I believe that there are certain things giving religion a bad name, but I don't believe it's Stanley Rader or Mr. Armstrong.
The Chief of General Motors earns something like $1,200,000 a year, about $500,000 to $600,000 a year expenses in the States. The total income of this church in Australia is only about $2 million, as you might have heard today.
So, General Motors is a profit-making organisation.
Yes,
what has profit to do with the church?
If you're going to run anything, it has to be run on a business-like basis, or it is really just a nothing.
If we're not happy with what's going on, we can get up and go out.
Would anyone leave after seeing that?
No.
Anyone here?
No.
Has that disappointed you at all in the church?
No. No. I think if you went along and asked the Pope how much he got a year, find out. Find out who's paying for his trip overseas now. Who's
Sir, can I ask you this question? By that, do you mean that Stanley Rader and the Pope are on the same level?
Certainly not. Mr. Rader's far above the Pope.
American authorities claim the right to investigate church finances on the basis that the church pays no taxes, and thus can be said to be subsidized by the public at large. Churches here have sizable tax exemptions as well. Since Mike Wallace did that story in America, Herbert W. Armstrong seems to have closed ranks with Stanley Rader, despite obviously strong opposition from some of the faithful. And Herbert Armstrong, as his son Garner Ted found out, is not a man who would be defied.
You just don't like him. But I do. And I'm going to keep the man that God gives me if I want him, and nobody is going to say nay to me.